Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. It is January 31st, Thursday, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, we've got some fun topics for today.
We do. One's fun and one's exciting. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
It would be going pretty well if we had other topics. I would really rather just sort of sit here and ask you guys like what you're watching on TV or something, because we don't have anything else to talk about, but we totally do. So, I want to say the date again. It's Thursday, January 31st, just so people don't think this is a rerun, because we're going to talk about Facebook. And Facebook has been playing a little fast and a little loose with a few rules. And I know how weird that sounds. So talk to us a little bit about this, Brian.
This is Andrew's story. Andrew can brief us on the...
Andrew, give us the basics on what's going on here with the book face, as I like to call it.
So the latest thing was when Apple revoked Facebook's enterprise certificate. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it killed a lot of their apps they use for internal testing. Mm-hmm. And not only internal testing, just all internal apps. Apparently, it was like apps used to... for employees so they could like get transportation and delivery services, all these different things. Mm-hmm. And they deployed the Facebook research app on that same certificate. So when when Apple banned it, they revoked the certificate, like everything died.
All those other ones came down too. So the thing that we're talking about in particular that got the certificate revoked is what exactly?
This research app, Facebook, they used to have this app called Onavo, which many people called spyware. Mm-hmm. It was this fake VPN that let Facebook look at all of your...
VPN. It was a VPN that basically ported all your data through Facebook servers. Mm-hmm. So that they could, like, monitor what you're doing.
So you have to air quote the P, because VPN stands for virtual private network. So it was a virtual network, but...
It was private to Facebook.
All your data was just between you and Facebook. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so Onavo, which was also banned, Facebook basically reskinned it as this research app.
Okay.
And they explicitly aimed it at younger people. Mm-hmm. Under this guise that, we'll give you this $20 gift card if you let us access everything about your phone. Mm-hmm. And they got banned.
They were marketing that to teenagers. At least one story I read was saying that specifically they had targeted like high school students with smartphones, and that they were giving them these $20 gift cards to get all this data.
Yeah. And so that brings us to today. I had written a link teaser to an article from The Verge. This person was simultaneously attacking Apple and defending Facebook for what Apple did. Their argument is basically that it's scary that Apple has this power, when my opinion was this is just Apple enforcing its rules.
And like that's almost the non-news piece of this, I think, is that Apple bounced something from the App Store that was violating the rules of the App Store, because we've seen this before and we've reported on that.
Apple killed an API that stopped a bunch of stuff from working. It's a little bit different from kicking something from the App Store.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and to be clear, Apple... you know, when companies deploy apps using these special enterprise certificates, mm-hmm. Apple doesn't know about those apps, and that's by design, because this lets companies put secret proprietary information in these apps, so mm-hmm. Facebook doesn't know anything about them.
It's an extension of Apple's approach to privacy in general.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like Apple could see the stuff that was going on in this and then pulled it all down. It's just that that Facebook was relying on a single certificate and deployed a bunch of stuff against that single certificate. And so one of those things was Facebook Research. So when Apple pulled the certificate tied to Facebook Research, it also pulled down these other things, which was just a side effect. Yeah. It wasn't what Apple set out to do. And I'm trying to defend them. I'm just trying to make sure that everybody understands what's actually going on. This wasn't Tim Cook flexing on Facebook or anything. It's just that they used one certificate and built a bunch of apps against it. Mm-hmm. And all Apple was going after was this particular Facebook Research app that Facebook had deployed.
Yeah, and the central premise that sort of got us all buzzing during our morning meeting was this concept put forth by The Verge's Casey Newton, arguing that Apple might have too much power to be able to do this. And to which I say, go F yourself.
Thank you for saving me the edit there, Brian.
With all due respect, of course, to Mr. or Mrs. or Miss Newton. I don't know if Casey is a male or female. It's probably beside the point. And the idea that Apple couldn't keep a company from using an API against its terms of service is abhorrent and awful. And the issue here is Facebook, they were intentionally breaking the rules. Mm-hmm. They were intentionally breaking the rules to do something that was awful.
Right.
To do something that was awful. And the idea is like to criticize Apple for possibly having too much power. I mean, this goes hand in hand with having a whole widget platform in the first place and having a walled garden in the first place. Mm-hmm. And if you think that Apple being able to do this is Apple having too much power, then you disagree with Apple being able to have a walled garden, to have a curated platform. And I know that there are plenty of people out there who do believe that and don't think that there should be walled gardens, etc., to which I say, go F yourselves. I like my walled garden. I like the fact that Apple's taking care of the stuff.
Yeah.
As do I. And I think you're absolutely right about Facebook doing this knowingly, because it was the same application and they gave it a new name. And so it's not like they didn't know that this was probably going to happen again. I think they were betting on it not happening again by giving it this rebranded, and putting it out again.
This API is supposed to be used for internal, employee-centric uses, mm-hmm. Company-centric uses. It's not designed to pay kids to sideload spyware.
Right.
For frickin' say, I mean, like, duh. Yeah, so anyway, I entirely and always disagree with the point made by Casey Newton on The Verge, and do not think that there is much logic to that. I also don't want to live in that world where there is logic to that.
Right, and you know, I think to be the thing that was sort of interesting about this was seeing Apple go up against Facebook, because we have seen that Apple and Facebook do not have a standard issue developer relationship, you know, when it comes to some of this stuff. Like, Facebook apps, if there's a problem in a Facebook app, the Facebook app is updated immediately. Whereas if you are not Facebook, you have to go through a standard, review process and wait time and all of that, and wait for somebody to get to it and then be able to approve that for sale. And, you know, it seems like Facebook, by virtue of being Facebook, has sort of a hotline to developer relations, and if there's something that needs to be changed or something needs to happen in particular, you can go, Facebook has access to people internally in Cupertino that other mere mortal developers, we'll call them, don't necessarily have. And that's a thing that we've all seen. I mean, how many, remember, wasn't it Facebook that was allowed to sync with your contacts? Weren't they one of the first to do that, so that everybody had like Facebook information in their phones for people and stuff? So like, there's there's always been a little better relationship there. And so for Apple to sort of treat Facebook like every other developer, you broke a rule and we're going to take the steps we told you we would take if you broke a rule, almost is comforting to me in a way. And I wouldn't care if you, even if it was a company I really liked, I sort of am glad that they're like, you're not above any of the rules that we hold everybody else to.
Yeah, exactly. They're being treated just like every other company.
Yeah, so like, so, you know, saying that it wasn't cool of Apple to break all of these other apps that Facebook was using internally, like, while it's true that, you know, like, it's not that that's what Apple set out to do. It sounds like this was an unfortunate side effect of what they did. And
well, it's because of the way Facebook was using it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Right? The responsibility here comes to Facebook and its misuse of a tool that it was being granted inside the walled garden by Apple.
Right. And like, if we're talking about developer certificates, I can tell you, having done a little bit of this work, a tiny, tiny bit of this work, in getting new certificates, I can tell you that it's not a complicated process to get one of these set up. So they could have had one for anything that was even remotely externally facing and had one that all the proprietary secret stuff was tied to. And it would not have been a big deal to do that. So that's the other part of this to me that's sort of interesting. But, you know, like I said, I'm glad that Apple is applying all the rules to everybody. Now, I did see someone talk about how if Apple really wanted to make Facebook suffer, that they would bounce WhatsApp and Instagram from the App Store until Facebook could prove that it had its privacy poop in a group. And while yes, that's an action Apple could take, I don't know that we're necessarily that far down that road yet, even for Facebook.
That would be probably that would be unreasonable, I think.
Right, because at this point, anyway, Instagram and WhatsApp aren't showing the same sort of blatant disregard for user data yet. They're getting there. And I know that Zuckerberg has come out and said that he wants to unify them so that Facebook is more tightly integrated with WhatsApp and Instagram. And from what I have seen, it also looks like part of doing that is why the people who founded Instagram, who were working within Facebook on the app, are now no longer at Facebook. So it's entirely possible that some other things are coming. So, Andrew, I look forward to your alternatives to WhatsApp and Facebook. WhatsApp and Instagram piece coming very, very soon.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. And so, one more data point. So,
yeah,
the teens that were using this app, they didn't even know it was from Facebook. Facebook was using these, I don't know if they were shell companies or just marketing firms, but it's just even more trickery on their part.
Just to make extra sure that nobody knew that it was Facebook who was snooping on them. And then, yeah. So thanks, The Verge, for defending that behavior. We're going to hide who we are and we're going to bribe kids to get unfettered access to their Yeah. All right. We have to stop because I don't want to edit. I don't want to have to edit the show today. And that's basically where we're headed. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to talk to you about our sponsor today. And our sponsor today is Capterra. Are you still doing things the old-fashioned way? Because we've settled into a new year. So start that new year off right by replacing that tool that you use at work that causes you angst every day. You can find that replacement with Capterra, which is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution. Capterra has over 700,000 reviews of software from actual users of that software. You can find anything you're looking for because there are more than 700 categories to choose from to make an informed decision. Everything from project management or email marketing to something pretty specific like legal billing software. So no matter what kind of business you have and what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it easy for you to discover the right solution and discover it fast. So here's what to do. Go to capterra.com/TDO for free today and find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. Capterra.com/TDO. That's CAPTERRA.com/TDO. Now, our other topic today is not security related at all. We are going to debate the merits of baskets of puppies. No. we're actually going to talk about a really interesting wave of news that came out of Reuters, which is I think the quote I saw in the story that stuck with me was being the bad kind of spy. Andrew, you wrote this up for us as a link. What can you tell us about the United Arab Emirates and their trickery?
Yeah, so a team of these former government hackers, basically.
U.S. government hackers.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was called Project Raven. I think they might have included ex-NSA people. Mm-hmm. They were working with the United Arab Emirates to hack into the iPhones of activists, human rights activists, diplomats, people who were criticizing the monarchy over there. Mm-hmm. And they use this very terrifying tool. It's called Karma. And it's terrifying because it let them hack people remotely. And the victims, they didn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to click on a phishing link or visit this malicious website.
Or install Facebook research.
Yeah, all the people had to do was upload the phone number or email address into
All the
people hacking.
Sponsored hackers had to do was
yes.
Yeah, all the,
so all
the
they
hackers
had to
do,
was put the phone number or the email account into this system, and they could hack hundreds of iPhones at a time. Mm-hmm. So this is like God mode.
And getting that access only involved, this was the part that I noticed, was sending a text message. That text message didn't need to be read. That text message didn't have a sketchy link that needed clicking on. It wasn't a semi-legitimate looking email. It wasn't a weird phone call where you push 3 and now they have unlimited access to make calls through your account or anything like that. All they had to do was send a text message to this device.
And this was during 2016 and 17. So this article says by the end of 2017, software updates that Apple had released made it like a lot less effective. Mm-hmm. So we have that to be thankful for.
But it doesn't say ineffective. It just says less effective. Right. So how much access do they still have?
We don't know. And we also don't know. There's a whole lot of details that the Reuters piece didn't have. And the piece was sourced by talking to multiple operatives, mm-hmm, that were working for this company called Project Raven. Mm-hmm. And also from examining multiple documents, which I'm assuming that their multiple sources gave them. These, we don't know who developed Karma. Mm-hmm. We don't know, although I'm thinking it was a government actor, although it could have been one of the various. Well, that's an interesting thing right there, right? Because who made this? Is it a company like Cellebrite?
Right.
Who is in the business of acquiring or developing exploits that they can then sell, mm-hmm, to governments? Was it a criminal organization? Well, you know, actually, I would call Cellebrite borderline criminal, but that's just me. And was it a criminal organization or was it a government agency? And then the software was then, either stolen, snuck out, or sold on the sly or something. We don't know who developed it.
Right.
But we do know that the people who were running it for the UAE were former American security employees. Mm-hmm. Trained and formerly employed by the United States government. And that part is, becoming a mercenary is certainly a thing. And these folks wouldn't be the first U.S. trained operatives who became mercenaries for hire to authoritarian regimes around the world. But it is certainly a nice, stark reminder that those concepts, all those words I just used, are going to increasingly become part of our digital lives too.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I thought was interesting in the story was the part when one of the people mentioned, like I said at the beginning, I'm the bad kind of spy, because specifically what they were referring to was talking about, I've been doing this work for a while. I was doing this thing and, you know, helping spy on people that this government had determined were people who needed spying on. And then some of those people turned out to be Americans. And so now I, as an American, am helping a foreign government spy on fellow Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, we don't know that was the case here. All the people that Reuters named and all the people that Reuters sort of grouped together are activists within the Middle East, adversarial.
The targets listed, right.
Yeah, people that were active in some way or another in politics mm-hmm. within the Middle East. So we don't know if Americans were targeted by this particular situation, but that certainly can happen. And here's a thing that is really gets my goat about these kinds of stories. Part of the NSA's mandate is to protect America, mm-hmm. to protect Americans from foreign spying. That's mm-hmm. part of their mandate. Most of their mandate is pretty much the other way around, where they're trying to get information on enemies of the United States, economic and political enemies, et cetera, and even sometimes spying on our friends.
Sure.
And they are also, unlike the CIA, allowed to operate within the United States. The CIA cannot conduct operations within the United States, despite what many TV shows and movies would show you to the contrary.
Right.
And legally speaking, that is.
Right.
And doesn't mean
that's why there's the FBI.
Happen anyway.
Right.
Right. And the NSA also is in the business of acquiring and keeping zero-day exploits so that they can use them. Mm-hmm. And the part of that that bothers me is that if they're using them, that means that other people can use them too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like, I wish they were much more involved in finding, acquiring, and then helping U.S. tech companies stop these kinds of exploits, the kinds of exploit that made Karma possible.
Right.
Karma was a scary tool. And yeah, Apple has apparently improved things, and we can hope that. Like, so the story did not give us any indication specifically about how useful Karma still is. But the fact that it existed at all, that's really, really scary stuff, especially when people are choosing Apple's platform because it's safer than Android. Mm-hmm. This particular tool didn't work with Android, but there are tons of other spyware
right.
tools available for Android.
And that was the thing that I wondered about when I read this was, you know, it said like, updates to Apple's operating system made it less effective. And I'm like, but you're not saying it's dead. You're not saying it doesn't work at all now. So if it's still working, like, that's still not great. Like, you know, it would have really been nice to hear, like, yeah, you know, as of iOS 12, Karma is a doorstop. So here's why you need to keep your stuff updated. But that's not what they're saying. And they didn't really get into.
Well, Apple didn't say either. And Apple
right.
didn't comment for the story.
Right.
The NSA didn't comment for this story.
I'm shocked.
No one was commenting for the story other than the unnamed sources that they
sure.
cited.
So that, to me, is the part that sort of that was concerning, was, you know, like, less effective, but not ineffective. And, you know, and that is part of why I continue to carry an iPhone, is because that sort of stuff's not supposed to work. So, you know, I know that there's always going to be stuff available in some way, you know, like, I remember what jailbreaking was like, and I remember people just trying to get in, you know, like, in a white hat way, like, I'm just looking for vulnerabilities because that's my idea of a good time, and, you know, I publish them and make them public so that the operating system is more secure and stuff like that. And, you know, that's all great, but, like, stuff like this happens, and it's just a really big reminder, you know, it does say less effective, like, recent updates to the operating system have made it less effective. So make sure that you're keeping your stuff up to date. You know, maybe you're not a person who regularly traffics in state secrets, but that doesn't mean somebody couldn't be trying to spy on you. You know, Because until somebody can get in your phone and take a good look around, they don't know that you're not an interesting target. So you got to be careful of that stuff. So that's the kind of thing that I always want to make sure that we are continuing to, you know, that this is why we talk about this stuff here as much as we do, is because people need to know about it, because you can't really protect yourself from stuff that you don't know about. And so we like to shine a light on those. So I don't know how much more will come out of this one in particular, because there were, like I said, there was a wave of news because Reuters published two different articles. One of them was about the operation itself, and then one of them was about this tool called Karma that the people were using. And it was, they're both pretty interesting reads. I would recommend if you have some time, sit down with a cup of coffee or, you know, a sandwich at lunchtime and spend a little time learning about these and find out a little bit more about what espionage looks like in the digital age, because it's kind of scary. I would say don't read it in the evening because you may not be able to sleep. I'm not trying to be like snide about it. Like, this really is, like, finding out that this was a thing that existed was honestly kind of an alarming thing. So with that, I'm going to say thanks to the both of you for joining me. Thank you for being here with me today, Brian.
Yep.
Thank you also to Andrew for joining me today.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, don't glom on to my whatever it is I'm doing, dude.
I thought you were copying me.
I might have been. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry for glomming onto your thing from yesterday, Andrew. Sorry.
I forgive you.
Oh, all right. That's nice of you. Thank you.
Feeling the love on Daily Observations today. I would thank both of you for your enthusiasm, but yeah. Anyway, I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.